We've begun a new series on a Sunday morning, which will take us the next couple of months, January and February. It's called A City That Is Set on a Hill. And during this series, we're asking the question, what kind of church is Jesus building? What kind of church is Jesus building? Last week, I gave some general observations as to the type of church that Jesus is building. We said last week that the church Jesus is building is a visible church. It's set upon a hill. It cannot be hidden. And we thank God that when the church is being built, people will know that it's there. It will become visible to the communities where we live and serve. It's a powerful church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Thank God, friends, we're on the winning side. And the Church of Jesus Christ is a powerful church. It has an advantage over its enemies. It's set upon a hill. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We saw last week that it's a church that's designed and made, whose architect and maker is God Himself. Thank God it's His church. It's His church. This morning, I want to ask the question, who are we relying upon, or what are we relying upon, for the Church of Jesus Christ to be built? The Scriptures make it very plain who is building the church. Jesus said, I will build my church. That is very fundamental. It's an important principle that we really need to get hold of. Jesus said that He would build His church. We must never forget that He is the builder of the church. You know that a builder is involved in every part of the building. He's there when the foundations are laid, and He's there when the final stone is put on the building. The builder is involved in every little detail of the building. We are believing God, friends, that in 2013, the Lord is going to build His church amongst us in a very wonderful way. Lying in bed a couple of weeks before Christmas, I can only put it down to God lit a verse of Scripture up to me. And when God does that, you begin to see something that you've never seen before. You begin to understand things like you've never understood them before. And a couple of weeks before Christmas, I was lying in bed, and I was thinking of that scripture, I will build my church. I will build my church. And I found myself asking the question as I laid horizontal, Lord, how do you build your church? And the answer came back through the Holy Spirit. Now, I'd known that. At least I thought I'd known it. But something happened as I lay in bed that night. It was like a light went on and the penny dropped. I quoted the scriptures before, I will build my church. Unless the Lord builds the house, we will labor in vain that build it. Without Him, we can do nothing. How many know, friends, that you can know something but not know it? You can quote something and not really understand the full implication of it. But that night, as I lay in bed, I saw something that I'd never seen before in this scripture. And really, the ministry this morning and the question we're asking this morning in this series, A City Set Upon a Hill, is as a result of what happened that night as I lay in bed. Who or what are we relying upon to build the church. Now, what I share with you this morning mightn't be a revelation to you. You might already, the penny might have already dropped with you. But if it has already dropped, well, it's a good reminder for us all, isn't it? Because we need to keep the focus on who is building the church. I will build my church. And as I lay in bed that night with the answer to my question burning within me, I'd ask the Lord, how is your church being built? And the answer came back, through the Holy Spirit. And I began to realize that night that there are some things that we rely on that may have nothing whatsoever to do with the church of Jesus Christ being built. Some things that we can rely upon in our Christian life, thinking that it's building the church, and yet, if we're honest, it might have nothing to do with the church being built, or his church that he's building. I believe that the church of Jesus Christ is built as people get saved, as people are added to the church. Every convert is another brick in the building. Every person who is born again of the Spirit of God is another brick in the building that God is building, called the ecclesia, the church, the called out ones. In the Acts of the Apostles, we read of bricks being added to the church. And it was growing at a phenomenal rate. They say, historians tell us, that there was something like 60,000 converts to the faith in Jerusalem around about that time. 60,000. You see, friends, it wasn't done in a corner. It was a city that was set upon a hill. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 bricks were added to it. Then the healing of the cripple at the beautiful gate of the temple, another 5,000 bricks were added to this building called the church. And then the Bible says there were multitudes. They'd lost count. Multitudes both of men and women finding Christ as Savior. We read that scripture in Acts, and the Lord added daily to the church those who were being saved. So the church is built as people are added to the church. Ephesians 2 verse 19 says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Wonderful. You know, friends, I believe that the church is first and foremost in the mind of God. God loves the church. The Bible says he gave himself for the church. Paul's instructions to the Christians was, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. God loves the church. The church that he is building. The Bible says he wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. When you come to a knowledge of the truth, that sets people free. The Bible says you shall know the truth. There's a knowledge that comes who Jesus is. You are the Christ, a revelation, the Son of the living God. And that knowledge sets people free. And God wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In other words, those outside of the church are perishing. They're lost. Jesus came to seek and save those who were lost. And so all those outside of this thing that we call the church, they are lost. God's heart can be found amongst the lost. Amen. If you want to find where the heart of God is, it's amongst the lost, friends. Here is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, grows into a holy temple for the Lord. Paul described the church as the body. He says every part of that body is necessary. We are all members of this body called the church. The church grows as people are added to it, but the church also grows as the body begins to function in love. When the body begins to function in love, it causes growth amongst this habitation of God called the church. The Word of God says this, "But speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ." He is the head of the church. "From whom the whole body," that's us, "joined and knit together," so we are joined together when we belong to the church, "and knit together by what every joint supplies." So there is a supply in your life that when you are knit together with other brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, there is a supply that flows from you to the other members of the body. "By what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share." So you're not called to sit, you're called to serve. We are called to be servants of the living God. So there is a share, there is something that we can do. And the Word of God says when we begin to play our part, it causes growth of the body for the edifying itself in love. So when the body begins to function and the members of the body begin to do their share, that causes the church to grow as well. When love is invading the atmosphere of the church. Jesus is referred to as the wise master builder. A master builder is the chief builder. There might be many builders on a site, but there's only one master builder, one master craftsman. The Bible says he is the wise master builder. He is the one who is in control. No builder starts a building without the intention of finishing what he started. Jesus said, "Which of you wanting to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost? If you're going to build it, have you got enough to finish it? Have you got sufficient material to get the job done? Or else when it's halfway up, you realize, I can't finish this job." When I went to Turkey for the first time, one thing I noticed, there was a lot of buildings as we came from the airport that were half up and that had been left. I made a few inquiries and found out that they were left like that because the builders had run out of money. They hadn't got sufficient to finish the jobs. And so it was only halfway up. And how many knows when you're halfway up, you're neither up nor down? Thank God, friends. As a wise master builder, he counted the cost. He counted the cost. He made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on the cross. And now God's highly exalted him. Hallelujah. He knew that what he started on the day of Pentecost, when the church was born, he knew he would have sufficient to finish it. And one day, friends, the church will be complete. The final brick will be put into the church, and he will come for it. He's coming for his church, his ecclesia, his called out ones. Thank God he knew that what he'd started 2,000 years ago, on the day of Pentecost when the church was born, he would have sufficient to finish it. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven, like as of a mighty rushing wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. Cloven tongues like a fire came and sat upon all of the believers. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the Bible says the people in Jerusalem all rushed together to see the phenomenon of what was taking place. This wind, these cloven tongues of fire, they were an attraction to the whole city. And as they gathered there, they thought they were drunk. Peter stood up, said, "These men are not drunk as you think they are. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. The pubs are not open. This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. It will come to pass in the last days, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh." Hallelujah. This is that. The church was born. "When I go, I will send another comforter. He'll be with you forever. He's called the Holy Spirit." Hallelujah. Friends, the church of Jesus Christ is a work in progress. It's still being built. Every day, thank God, people are being added to it. Every day, people are getting converted and being added to the church. So our question this morning is, who and what are we relying upon for this building, this habitation of God through the Holy Spirit, this church, this ecclesia? What or who are we relying upon to build the church? And even though we thought we knew the answer, I ask the question, do we really know the answer? Because we know that he said, "I will build my church." Without him, we can do nothing. And unless he builds the house, we labor in vain who build it. Friends, could it be that the focus of attention in Christians' lives, in church fellowships, have shifted onto things that we think are building the church, and away from him, the Holy Spirit? When Jesus was transfigured on the Mount, they think it was Mount Hermon, but wherever it was, or could have been Mount Tabor, but when he went up to that high mountain and his robes began to shine and the glory of God shone from him, he took Peter, James, and John up there with him. And they saw his glory. For the first time, they realized this man amongst them was the incarnate Son of God. God in flesh. And the Bible says there, Moses and Elijah appeared on the mountain. And Peter and John just took it all in. And they said, "Let us make 3 tabernacles, 3 booths, 3 dwelling places, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." And a cloud came and overshadowed them. And they couldn't see anybody out. But out of the cloud a voice came, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." And when the cloud had gone away, they saw no man, but Jesus only. In other words, God was testifying, it's not Moses, it's not Elijah, it's not the experience, it's him. Martha and Mary, busy. Martha was busy about much serving. She got distracted. Can I suggest, church, that we may have got distracted from who or what is really building the church? Martha and Mary, Martha got distracted about all the catering that she had to do. She got her eyes off him and got her eyes on the busyness of the things that were going on around about her. Mary sat at his feet. Jesus said that she had chosen the better part. Could it be, church, that we have got distracted like Martha did? The Bible says he must have the preeminence in all things. When he was baptized in the River Jordan, the Word of God says that the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending from heaven like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." It's him. I want to suggest this morning that many Christians are relying upon other things that may not necessarily build the church of Jesus Christ. We're relying on things instead of him, the Holy Spirit. You'll have heard the expression, "I belong to a growing church." That basically means that the church that people are going to is growing numerically. The growth of the church is measured by the numerical growth of people coming into the church. More people coming in. And I belong to a growing church. That's measured by the size of the congregation. It's growing. I've already said that he is in the business of growing the church. And when people get saved, they are added to the church. But I want to tell you, friends, belonging to a growing church may not be an indication that Jesus is building that church. You might have heard the expression, I belong to a contemporary church. Our church is contemporary. That basically means that church is relevant to today's society. Nothing wrong in that. If you went into that church, you would notice some things that wouldn't take place in a lot of churches. There would be slick presentation. There could be lights. There could be smoke coming up. A contemporary church. Great band. Great music. Great worship. A great kids program. Good programs that are on in the church. The church is contemporary. There is an attraction about it. It's relating to people. Now, there's nothing wrong with a growing church or a contemporary church. God deserves the best, doesn't he? He deserves the best, friends. And there's nothing wrong in themselves. But the best, all that I've mentioned, at the end of the day, all they are methods. And friends, can I say, methods don't grow the church. They don't build the church. He does. Even a growing congregation is no indication that the Lord is building his church. Good preaching. A good building to have church in. A good program of events in the church. They too are not indications that the Lord is building his church. Charismatic leadership is no indication that the Lord is building his church. A tremendous band, great worship, no indication whatsoever that the Lord is building his church. But the danger I see is that many believers can come to rely upon these things as the Lord building the church. Growing numerically, oh, the Lord is building the church. Contemporary, the Lord is building the church. Slick presentation, the Lord is building the church. There may or may not be an indication that Jesus is building the church at all. You know, people can gather for all kinds of reasons. Can I say decisions for Christ are no indication that the Lord is building the church? Because many people can put a hand up in a meeting, be emotionally moved, and yet they mightn't be saved. So decisions in a meeting are no indication that the Lord is building the church. Fruit is an indication that the Lord is building the church. Not a decision. By their fruits you will know them. John said to those who came to him at the Jordan, go and have a change around. Bring forth fruits that are ready for meet for repentance. Make sure that you really have repented. A crowd can be attracted by all kinds of things. Friends, it's not just the church that attracts crowds. Crowds can be attracted by all kinds of things. 17,000 people were attracted to Middlesbrough yesterday to watch them get beat. Watch Match of the Day last night, 36,000 at Sunderland. Manchester playing Liverpool today, something like 70,000 there. Put a singing event on, and crowds will go to it. Put a secular singer on. Who's a secular singer? Give me a name. Gary Barlow. Lord forgive you. Gary Barlow. Put a Gary Barlow event on and thousands will come. They'll sell out of tickets. You see, friends, a crowd can be attracted by all sorts of things. And people gathering in a church or in a building that we call the church can be attracted by all kinds of things that may be or may not be the Lord building his church. So in answer to the question, who is building the church? The answer that I got that night was the Holy Spirit. How then does the Holy Spirit build the church? How does he build it? He builds it through men. God's methods are men, not machinery. God's methods are people who have been born again of the Holy Spirit and who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. God works through people to build the church. I want to say we often get it wrong here. Sometimes we see God doing some incredible work through a child of God. And we get our eyes on the person. You know, people will travel miles to go and see a preacher or a healing evangelist. Reinhard Bonnke, I think, is perhaps, if not, he's perhaps the greatest evangelist this world has ever seen. I know about Billy Graham, but perhaps more Reinhard Bonnke, in my opinion, is perhaps the greatest evangelist this world has ever seen. And sometimes people can elevate the person. You know, they'll travel miles to see the person. I think we often get it wrong here. Friends, it's not the person. It's the Holy Spirit using the person. All the person is a vessel. It's the Holy Spirit the person may have made himself available or herself available to the Holy Spirit, but it's just the Holy Spirit working through the vessel. You know, Paul said, you say, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas. In other words, they had the favorites in the Corinthian church. If so-and-so's preaching, I'll be there. So-and-so's preaching, I'm not going. I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas. Paul said, who are we? He said, at the end of the day, all we are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is Paul? Who is Cephas? In other words, get your eyes off us. Get your eyes off the individual. We're all servants of the Most High God. Peter and John, when they were going to that prayer meeting and the crippled man was laid at the beautiful gate of the temple and that tremendous miracle took place. 38 years he'd been laid there. And the miracle took place. His ankles received strength as they lifted him up. And the whole of the people in the Solomon's colonnade where they used to gather, they came rushing together. The Bible says they were amazed. They were amazed at what had taken place. But Peter had to correct them because they were looking at Peter and John as though they had done this incredible thing. Peter said, don't look at us. Do you think it's by our godliness and our righteousness that this man stands here, whole before you? Get your eyes off us. Listen, this man stands whole before you. He stands whole in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the reason this miracle's taken place. It's got nothing to do with us. All we have been are vessels for him to move through and flow through. Friends, any work that is done to build the church needs to be accredited to the Holy Spirit and not to a person. He is building his church, not us. At the best of times, all we are vessels for God to flow through. Vessels that God can use. That's what Paul meant when he said to the Corinthian church, you see your calling, brothers? There are not many mighty called, not many noble, not many wise. God's chosen foolish things and things that are despised and things that are not to bring to confusion those things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Friends, how easy it is to glory in flesh. There are many people who have been used of God who've suddenly began to glory in what they can do. Friends, it's not a showmanship. The work of God is not a showmanship. Look at us with our white suits and, look at the power we've got. Blow people down. Congregations go down. Look at us. Friends, it's got nothing whatsoever to do with us. Nothing whatsoever to do with us. Smith Wigglesworth, he was a plumber. He couldn't read or write. And yet that man is now known today in Christian circles as the Apostle of Faith. I forget how many people he raised from the dead in his ministry. Moved in power. God chose him. When God chose Saul, he said, I chose you because you were humble. But now you're puffed up. And I can't use you anymore. Because we forget, friends, who it is that flows through us. It's not us. Who is Paul? It's the Holy Spirit. Jesus, he himself worked in partnership with the Father on his earthly ministry. The things that I see the Father do, I do. The Father works and I work. There was a partnership with the Holy Spirit. Friends, all we are as members of the body of Christ, we are partners with him. The Bible calls it, we are co-workers together. The Holy Spirit and us. And all we become is a channel for Him to flow through. For the Holy Spirit. Any work that's done to build the church, friends, it's not us. It's the Holy Spirit. I will build my church. It's not people. God will not give His glory to another. He won't. No flesh will glory in His presence. God won't give His glory to another. Friends, be careful about some of the evangelists that you hear today who glory in themselves. God will not give His glory to another. It's not them. They're all they are as vessels. And if they get too puffed up with pride, God will bring them low. God resists the proud. Gives grace to the humble. Let's never make the mistake when we go chasing after people's ministry that it's the person. All they are is a vehicle for God to use. So how does the Holy Spirit build His church through His people? What does He use? I've already said He uses us. First of all, He uses our bodies. You know, you couldn't get very far without your body. You couldn't live very long on this earth without your body. A body You have prepared for Me. The Lord had to have a body to come to this earth. And so Paul says we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, and pleasing to God. That is our reasonable service. So we present our bodies. God can use our bodies. He can use every member of our body. You know, friends, He can use our hands. When these folks have been prayed for this morning, hands have been laid upon them. Thank God He can use hands. It's not our hands. It's the Holy Spirit using the hands as a vehicle to flow through with His anointing to touch the sick person. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They laid hands on them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. There is something about the impartation of the laying on of hands. It's one of the foundational scriptures we read about in Hebrews. The laying on of hands. God can use our hands. God can use our feet. He used Philip's feet to take him from a revival in Samaria out into a desert to meet a eunuch who was on his way back home. God used his feet. God can use our feet. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things, who bring the word of God. They're beautiful feet. God can use our feet to take us, our bodies, to the people who are in need, and we can be an instrument in the hands of God to build the church through the Holy Spirit. God can use the words that we say. You know, friends, all of us here get tongue-tied when we're talking to others about Jesus. And some of us don't open our mouths because we're fearful. We clamp up. Fear of man brings a snare. You know why? Because we think it's our eloquence. We think it's what we say that does the job. Jesus said, it'll not be you who speak, it'll be the Holy Spirit that speaks through you. And you know, when something happens, friends, sometimes we can think, I witnessed to so-and-so and they got saved. Hallelujah. Shared the love of Christ with somebody and they got saved. I did it. We need to remember, He is building the church. It's not us. God will use the words that we say. And that's why the most timid one amongst us, friends, needn't be frightened to speak the gospel. Because God, the Holy Ghost, can come on our words. Paul said, it's not with eloquence that I come to you. Not with great speech. Friends, it's not our eloquence. God can use stammering. He used Moses, didn't He? A stammerer. It's the Holy Spirit working through our words. We need to have confidence that when we speak about Jesus, the Holy Spirit will come upon the words that we speak. And people will be... Friends, when the Holy Spirit's working through His words, through the words that we speak, it'll bring conviction of sin, of righteousness and of judgment to come. When we are speaking, it will bring conviction because it's the Holy Spirit and not us. All we become is a vehicle for the Holy Spirit to flow through to touch other people. You know, God the Holy Ghost can use your personality. A smile. A handshake. The Holy Spirit can use that. We prayed over these this morning for the people who were sick. Friends, there's nothing magical in that. Unless the Holy Spirit flows through what we've done this morning, nothing will be accomplished. Without Him, we can do nothing. A cup of cold water in His name will not lose its reward. God can use a cup of cold water, a deed of kindness, an act of kindness, to be a vehicle for the Holy Spirit to flow through. The food bank is just a food bank. Unless the Holy Spirit flows through it, nothing will be accomplished to build the kingdom, the church. But if it's a vehicle, friends, the Holy Spirit can flow through it and bring people to a knowledge of Jesus Christ and meet needs. The shadow of Peter passing by, the Bible says in Acts, healed people. They brought people out in the streets. That only the shadow of Peter. Friends, it wasn't Peter. It wasn't even his shadow. All that became was a vehicle for the Holy Spirit to do something. Paul says that the handkerchief that was upon him, it was the sweatband that he had round his head where he's a tent maker. That was taken and given to people who were sick and they were healed. Friends, it wasn't anything magic in the sweatband. It was the Holy Spirit that caused the miracles to take place. Let's always remember, friends, it's not us, it's the Holy Spirit. You know, with natural ability, we can do certain things. We can have intellect, we can work, we can have good ideas. But unless the Holy Spirit comes upon our intellect and our good ideas, that's all it will be. Our own intellect and our own good ideas. And nothing will be accomplished for the kingdom. Thank God He can use our minds for the Holy Spirit to flow through. The gifts of the Holy Ghost can be given to us. Something we didn't know before, we can suddenly know, and it's the Holy Spirit who does it. He gives severally as He will. Let's never get occasion to glory in the flesh. It's not us, it's Him. He is building the church. All we are as vessels. Which brings me on to my final question. Who will the Holy Spirit use? What vessels will the Lord use to build the church? Well, from what I read, friends, in my Bible, the Lord wants to use everyone who is born again of the Spirit of God. God wants to use every single Christian as a conduit for the Holy Spirit to flow through to build the church. All those things that I've mentioned this morning, the Holy Spirit, good preaching, great church, great setup, everything. God the Holy Ghost just wants them as a conduit for Him to flow through. He deserves our best. He wants to use everyone. He wants to use every single person here this morning as a vessel. But if we're honest, friends, for some He can't use because there are hindrances. The vessel is blocked or the channel is blocked. Who then will He use? Can I say he will use those whose hearts are right with God? You know where God looks? He looks at our hearts. He can see us like no other can see us. God's searching for those he can use. The fields are white, ready for harvest. The world's in great need. There are people who need to be saved because they're lost. God is searching for those who we can use. The verse of scripture that came to me as I was preparing, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to show himself strong in those who fear him. Here it said, the eyes of the Lord are searching. They're running to and fro to show himself strong to those who've got a perfect heart. There's just some delight in the heart of God, you know. He was looking for a man. We all know that if he could have done it any other way, he would have done it. He looked for a man. Even before the world was created, in the heart of God, he knew what would happen. He wasn't taken aback when he saw the fall of man. He knew what would happen. That's why the Bible says our salvation, our redemption was planned before the world was ever created. And God looked over the vast sea of humanity. Isaiah tells us he was looking for a man who would stand in the gap, who would make redemption for the people, and he couldn't find anybody. Because God Almighty knew that there was none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that's why the eternal Son, who was in the bosom of the Father, stepped forward and said, here am I, send me. I'll go. A body you have prepared for me. And he came amongst us. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. But here, Almighty God is searching. And God, friends, is searching. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth. When he found David, Saul had failed, and people were mourning for Saul. Even Samuel was mourning for Saul. And it seemed as though God found great delight when he said, I have found David, a man after my own heart. When David stood before him, and his brothers stood before him, they all had things to boast about. But God was looking at the heart. I have found David, a man after my own heart. The Bible says David's heart was perfect. The other kings who followed after him didn't follow after David with a perfect heart like he'd served God. The Word of God says he followed God, 1 Kings 14:8, he followed God with all of his heart. Did David make mistakes? He made big ones. But God found him. Friends, please get me right this morning. God is working with imperfect people. And the man who said, don't look at us, don't think it's by our own godliness we've done this, 3 weeks earlier he'd been blaspheming. 3 weeks earlier he denied Christ in front of a little maid. 3 weeks earlier he'd blown it big time. He said, don't look at us, don't look at me. We make mistakes, but God looks at the heart. He looks at the repentant heart. The pure in heart will see God. I believe that a right spirit in you and me, a right heart, will attract the Holy Spirit. You know how bees are attracted to a honeypot? Something attractive to bees about a honeypot, they'll flock to it. Steel filings will flock to a magnet. And I believe, friends, when God looks and finds a heart that's right before him, it will attract the Holy Spirit. He will attract the Holy Spirit to come and make his abode. The Bible says, in a great house there are many vessels. Some of gold, some of silver. Some also of wood and clay. Some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, from being dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Praise God. Ready for every good work. The work that God can use that vessel to flow through. The condition of our hearts will determine how God will use us to build the church. Jesus is building his church. How is he doing it? Through the Holy Spirit. Who is he looking for to be a co-worker with him? Those whose hearts are right before him. Those whose hearts are right before him. Friends, I'm praying that this year of 2013, our focus will be upon him more than ever before. That he will have the preeminence. That as we see what God does amongst us during the course of this year, we will give all the glory to the Holy Spirit. To the one who is building the church. We'll rely upon him and not upon things. There's nothing wrong with good ideas. God sometimes gives us those ideas. But unless the Holy Spirit's upon them, all they are is a good idea. God will use our intellect. But that's just a natural ability. Friends, Apollos was eloquent, the Bible says, in all the scriptures. But then God got hold of him. And the Holy Ghost began to pour through his life. Made all the difference. It's not by might. We know it, don't we? Not by power. But by my... Not by human ability. But by my Spirit, says the Lord. Let's rely upon him this year. Let's make this year, 2013, a year where we say, without him, we can do nothing. And really understand what that means. That unless the Holy Spirit does it, unless the Holy Spirit builds the church, it won't be built. And let's be determined that he can find some material to use. That we can say, God, will you use me this year? Will you take my life? Will you use me this year for the glory of your name? I am available. Here I am, wholly available. What do we mean? God, I'm available for you to use. I'm a vessel of honor, set apart, ready to be used by you for the good work that you've got for me. I'm ready to be a conduit for the Holy Ghost to flow through. Some put their trust in horses. Some put their trust in chariots. But the man of God said, I will put my trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. I will build my church. May God build his church. Let's pray.